This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Grant Nanny with you on The Fan. We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with our team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Welcome back. So we had a regularly scheduled program here. We had some content we were going to bring you. But now, something has occurred today behind the scenes that demands our immediate attention. So we are joined in studio, Toby, myself, Tanny Rouye, by our corporate advisor, our supervisor here at 106.7 The Fan, Ryan Christopher Clary. Corporate Clary, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing real well.
Appreciate you joining us. And our boss, Mr. Chris Conner.
CK, hey, how are Danny, you? How are you?
I'm very, very well. So what I want to do here is try to establish the facts and try to establish the issue, if I may. Please correct me. This is both of you now. If I say something wrong. There was a meeting today via Zoom at 1:30.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday
is what I meant to say. Thank you. There's a meeting yesterday at 1:30. Ryan tells everybody, in addition to the one note that he plays, which is to hop in the stream. He doesn't talk to us anymore about anything else. Yep. Just wants us in the stream.
Yep.
Sets up the stream. The thing's not working. He's like on his hands and knees underneath trying to fix his camera.
Yelled at a few people, I think.
Yeah, barked at people.
Going under the hood.
So far. Yep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was going under the hood trying to figure some things out and did not figure those things out for the record.
And it took like a long time and it's like he's down there, then it's awkward. So he's late for the meeting because he wanted to go get a cup of coffee.
Yep.
So far, yep, right? So it's a Zoom meeting. At 1:33, give or take.
I would say 1:32.
1:32, 1:33, somewhere in there.
Sure.
Right around there, a couple minutes after the start of the meeting. On the meeting with our boss, our guy Lou, and the new person you are reporting to.
Lou, yes.
The new person you're reporting
to. Lou is the new
Lou
person.
Is the new
Lou
person.
Is the new person.
Yeah, Lou, yeah, Lou's my boss.
Way to go, Lou. I didn't know that.
Let's go, Lou.
We're announcing a Lou promotion. Lou. That's very nice. Good for Lou. All right. And then there's somebody else in the meeting, too. Four people.
No, it was just, three. Just CK, Lou, and I.
I mean, that makes it more incredible.
Yep. Oh, it was awkward.
So, the meeting starts. No Ryan. A couple minutes later, there is Ryan.
It's just me and Lou just sitting there waiting for Ryan.
Just sitting there making eye contact, just, making small talk.
Just two managers waiting for Ryan.
And Ryan hops on and says, I believe I've got this correct. Sorry I'm late. I was going to say that I was late because I was talking to CK.
Yes.
One of the three parties in the meeting.
Yes, I did say that.
Yeah. You said that during the meeting.
I did.
Which, by the way, would have been a lie because he was not late for that reason.
Okay.
We passed in the hallway right outside my office. I sat down and got on the Zoom, and then we waited for Ryan. Ryan was late because he went to get coffee.
Right.
We were all waiting for Ryan because he was getting coffee. And he said at the beginning of the meeting, when he got there late, oh, I was going to lie to everybody and blame it on CK. That's what he said. And I was in the meeting.
He was in the meeting.
This is the part that I can't believe more than, like, if you weren't in the meeting, everyone would know who you are. Mm-hmm. And you could, and he could say, I'm getting away with it, or I'm making a joke about that or something. Yeah. There are three people in this meeting, and you're one of the three.
Yeah.
And he starts the meeting off with a lie while being late.
While also technically meeting my new boss at this time. So it is kind of a double whammy, but let me just say this.
Okay. Yeah,
let me say this. I was going to get some coffee. It was 1:29, and actually I saw CK walking by. I was like just a mess. I had like a laptop in one hand and like my water bottle in the other.
You've been on your hands and knees down here with trying to be an electrician.
Why don't you recount the lengthy conversation we had when we passed each other in the hallway?
I was like, hey, CK.
And then?
And then what?
Hey, Ryan.
And then?
And then I went to go get coffee.
Oh dear.
But what but what about all the time there that caused you to be late? All the things that I said that made you late.
I was planning to go in the other studio, and I bypassed that studio because I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get some coffee. I need some coffee. You know me, Danny. I drink a lot of coffee.
We're coffee guys here. You and me are part of the coffee club.
Yes,
no problem.
We drink a lot of coffee. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking like that I would have some time. And lo and behold, it's 1:32. And all of a sudden,
now,
I'm like, oh,
happen?
I'm 2 minutes late. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I talked to CK in the hallway. I'll just be like, oh, I was talking with CK. Like, he's the boss. Like, Lou's going to be like, oh, no problem.
But what did you think when you saw my face on the Zoom? Did it occur to you to go, maybe I shouldn't use that as the excuse and then say it to him as well?
Before the meeting, did you know who was going to be in the meeting generally?
I just thought it was a one-on-one meeting with Lou and I. So here, you know what? Like, I know I love Lou. Lou's my new boss. I've worked with Lou for a few years.
Oh, man.
This was supposed to be a one-on-one meeting, and then all of a sudden...
So CK honed in on your meeting?
So CK all of a sudden just came into this meeting, and which, by the way, I'm not going to back the bus up anymore, but...
Oh, boy.
According to today, CK was like, I forgot about that meeting until I saw you.
Well, I was optional, because I am the vice president of sports. I
know. Oh, my God!
I'm just saying.
Tiger uppercut.
My presence was optional, yet I was still on time.
Good.
You were, okay, yes, you. But here's the thing. You were coming back from the coffee machine, and I was going to the coffee machine. And also, let's just say this. In the Zoom world, I think it is appropriate to be like 2 minutes late.
No.
I think 2 minutes late to a meeting is fine.
That's the most self-centered thing I've ever heard in my life.
It is a little bit.
So annoying.
But okay, let's be honest. Everyone is.
No.
Everyone is?
No.
I barely have meetings.
Not everyone is late to 5 minutes.
First of all,
two minutes.
You have meetings all the time, second of all.
It's a lot of meetings, I will
say. I don't remember what all I'm on. Third of all, maybe. The people, two-thirds of who's in that meeting are in that hallway at that point in time. It's optional for him. He's on time and you're not.
He was.
But the thought process of, I'm going to go ahead and say this thing. I'm going to go and tell everybody I was going to lie and blame it on one of the people in this meeting.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not go, it was Darius's fault?
Well, Darius was out yesterday. Darius was out. Yeah, he was on vacation.
Or blame it on Drab. Everybody else blames everything on Drab.
I mean, fair. Here's a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Say, I lost track of time and grabbed coffee.
Well, no,
I had trouble with my computer. I had trouble logging in. So anything other than, sorry I was late. I was going to blame it on you.
But, okay.
Other person in this meeting.
I mean, it just, so here's the thing. It's like, if you come up with like the computer excuse, it's kind of like the same thing as my dog ate my homework. Like everyone mm-hmm. has a computer issue in 2025. Mm-hmm. But if I'm like, well, I was talking with CK, that's, CK's the boss.
Except that I was there.
He was
I didn't know. I know.
This,
I know.
You saw my face on
I
the
saw
Zoom.
Your face.
What
I saw.
What was going through your mind?
I don't know. I was going to use that excuse, and I just thought it'd be funny, because I was like, oh, sorry, I was like 2 minute late, Sky. Like, I was actually going to use CK as an excuse, because, I mean, technically, if you look at it, we did have a conversation.
Oh, stop this. Again, the conversation was, hey, Ryan. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. I did say, now that I think about it, I was like, hey, just about to hop in a meeting.
Yeah.
Because I think you may have said, like, oh, what's up? And I was like, mm-hmm. hopping in a meeting right now, just walked right by. Mm-hmm. Didn't know he was going to be in that meeting.
We should have more meetings.
I was going to say.
A lot of meetings.
Meetings at all?
Yeah. There's so much that's incredible to me about it. You said it's an ever-present excuse with Zoom. Grant and I do our weekly hits with our buddy Derek Forrest, DC mm-hmm. News Now, and I have to restart Zoom 60% of the time.
Yeah.
It's just a thing, right? When you don't pay for it or whatever. Like, that's the most reasonable, normal excuse in human history. Sorry, I had to restart my computer for Zoom. I don't know why restarting it works, but it does. The same way I don't know why unplugging this camera 51 times, and the 52nd time, it eventually works.
Well, it doesn't work now.
Right, it doesn't work. Yeah, Toby's using his laptop. But the point of the dude's story is, is it in your mind, are you going, this is a funny joke as to why I appear so selfish?
No,
or is it I've been caught? Like, what? Like,
this, I was like, this is a good excuse. I was like, this is going to work.
Right.
I was 2 minutes late. This is going to work.
There. You can't, it would never work because I'm literally there.
Mm.
That's why we're here today.
Well, yeah, I know. That's why we're here today. Like, yeah. It's not the best excuse. I could have used the Zoom sucks, and like, it just took me a while to load up, which sometimes it does, but yesterday, loaded up like that, and everything worked. I was just like, I was joking around, and be like, I was going to use CK as an excuse while I was 2 minutes late.
Can I ask you a very important question?
Yes.
Is there anything else you're planning on blaming on me?
No.
I need to know
no.
Nothing else. You sure?
Today.
Let me.
Is it my fault that the camera wasn't working?
No, I'm not going there yet.
Okay, not yet.
Yes. Not yet.
And you know what hasn't happened now that I'm thinking about this, now that we're all here together? Does this room appear really clean to you?
Nope.
Nope. Whatever happened to that?
Why am I supposed to be clean the room?
Because you stole the wipes, buddy. You stole the wipes.
It was cleaner.
The theme of dishonesty here. There's a little bit of a theme here.
But that... The cleaner was not dishonesty, though. That was
no,
not.
It's theft. It's just
theft. It's theft, and that's different. Yeah. That's different. And no, I was caught.
It's worse.
And just saying.
I think you were caught in this lie, too,
you were
buddy.
Pretty dishonest
I was
to Grant.
I was not. I told Grant that I was borrowing it, which I...
Well, that's a lie.
Did, I think.
Another lie.
Right? I borrowed it.
Another one.
I borrowed the cleaner, and the cleaner's great.
It's working well for
really
you?
It's really good.
It's doing it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Brian, can you explain what a white lie is? Because it seems like you use them very often. Do you know what that phrase means?
I don't.
Can you explain it anyway? Is that possible?
You do your best.
It's a very... thank you, Darius.
Yeah.
It's a very potent lie, I would
say. It's
a
potent lie.
A very potent lie that I think I have gotten away, maybe in some instances here and there, with the cleaner saying that, like, I was just going to borrow it. Maybe I did borrow it.
Yeah.
Maybe I took it home, and maybe it's sitting under the sink right
now. Is it a lie about something, like, really serious?
It's a stupid, tiny lie.
A potent one.
But, like, that's the part I'm getting hung up on here, CK. It's a good follow-up question here. So help me out with potent.
Potent means like a dense, like thick situation.
Like a dense, thick.
Yes.
All right. So like if I had like a great submarine sandwich with a bunch of like corned beef and Italian meat.
Potent sandwich.
That's a potent because of the thickness.
It's potent. Mm-hmm. It's thick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Thickness. So how would that make, what kind of lie would be a thick lie then?
I think a thick lie would be saying that, like, your dog ate your homework.
Right.
Like, that's a thick lie.
What's a thin lie, then?
A thin lie, I believe, in my opinion, is using CK as an excuse as to why I was a few minutes late to a meeting.
So that's a thin lie.
I think that was a thin lie. Like, I think it's one of those that's like, okay, whatever. So which
one's the white lie?
Probably the thinner lie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think we got there. So remember, we went from potent lie... Mm-hmm. To the thin lie is
thick, also
is, and
thick,
thick
with a couple of
thick.
C's,
yeah.
Or is it?
I would say two C's. I would use two C's for that one.
Okay,
it is a
thick
lie.
All right,
it's a thick lie.
Man, okay, thank you for that. I feel smarter now. But let's get back to the fact that you were late to the meeting.
Yep,
because of your own actions, your own. If I could say this, I don't think this is who you are, but your own selfishness.
Yes,
your own. My time more valuable than their time.
Yeah.
Part of it.
It was.
And then you chose to blame
the boss.
A third of the meeting. Like,
yeah.
You said like one of the three people that's involved.
I did.
Man.
I guess it was honest of you to admit that you were going to lie about that.
I suppose.
It was honest.
It was stupid.
It was dumb.
It was really dumb. But it was honest, I guess.
Yeah,
And we need to work on that with you, so that's good.
There has been a few slip-ups here and there with some cleaning issues, all that stuff. But I will say this, like, I owned up to it. And I will say, like, I enjoyed that meeting, CK. You were in it. I think it was a great meeting. And some of the things...
Was it very productive?
It was a productive meeting,
that's
I
good.
Thought.
I kind of blacked out after that happened.
He did.
And all I could think about was, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy.
What did Lou say?
Lou was just sitting there, like, just laughing. Lou's a great guy. I love him. My new manager. I mean, he's awesome. The best boss is.
He's got a lot of work to do.
We're all Lou fans here. Yeah. But you're laying on a little bit thick here. I think because you lied in front of him.
I did.
You were late in front of him.
I did.
We all get Lou's quality. But what was Lou saying about the fact that you were like, yeah?
I think it was more so Lou was kind of just sitting back and watching everything unfold. Because CK was like, why would you use me as an excuse if I'm in this meeting? I'm like, well, that's the thing. I didn't know that you're in the meeting. So if he wasn't going to be in there,
no,
then I would
I
just
was
told Lou.
Right there.
Didn't
saw
you
me.
See his face?
Well, I did at that time. And that's why I was like, oh, like this is awkward.
Before you said that, you saw me. I was definitely there.
I know. Right. I know. I was waiting. I was like, well, actually, funny. Sorry, guys. I was running late. I was actually going to use CK as an excuse as to why I was late.
Is there anything you want to blame on Lou while we're here?
You know, I'm not going to blame Lou for this, but.
But. Oh, unbelievable.
But. It was supposed to be a one-on-one meeting. I felt like I was getting like it was. I was like interrogated there in those that 30-minute meeting. Like honestly, it was supposed to be a one-on-one. Yeah.
What
Is it you feel interrogated because you were maybe a bit defensive?
I was defensive.
From the lying?
Yeah, I needed my coffee. I'm a grumpy guy if I don't get my coffee. I didn't have my coffee yesterday.
That's true. Maybe it's true. The guilt that you have.
It was a little bit of the guilt. Okay. I mean, it was the lie. Okay. But also, I will say this. I just needed my coffee. And I didn't want to say that because then it's like, well, why didn't you get your coffee at 127 rather than 129?
That's a valid question.
And it's a fair question. I'm like, you know what? Like, you got me. My bad. I won't do that again. But in reality, I could just have a cop-out being like, you know what? Like, what is Lou going to say? Like, you can't talk to CK.
Because here's the part that I don't like about it, respectfully, is it's like that, I was going to be on time, but you know how CK is. Always,
saying hello to me and all.
Always chirping my ear off, right? You know, it's like he loves meetings. He wants to have meetings all the time, and you can't get off a meeting with that guy because he's always, That's the implication.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
That's 100% what you're into.
No. It's...
Because he's not even my boss anymore because I'm with corporate.
Yeah. I'm with corporate.
And he's always bothering me.
In that one-on-one meeting that you're now annoyed that he sort of weaseled his way into, apparently, which is the implication.
I did not say that.
You implied it.
I was saying pretty heavily. It's in the wording of the email from Lou that it was a one-on-one interview and meeting. And I was like, okay, cool, no problem. And then CK was happened to me in
there. Are you
also
on that email?
I was not, but I was invited to the meeting via text.
And he joined.
Yeah. So you had no idea that it was possible?
No idea. No, I thought it was just me, Lou, and I. Like, in fact, I was going to be like, dude, like, if you want to do Zoom, we can. Like, Lou and I talk, we text. I was like, you want to call me? Whatever.
So I'll be late whenever.
I'll be late.
Yeah. I'll be there when I get there, bro. Here's my question. I'm not accusing Lou of this, by the way. All right. Because I think Lou's a stand up guy. But do you feel lied to by Lou that it wasn't a one on one meeting? And how does it feel to be lied to?
No, it was not. I don't think he lied to me.
He misled you?
He misled me. Because, let's be honest, like, CK's the boss. He's the guy. Like, and then all of a sudden,
and
he's the
better
third
to blame everything on than me?
I know.
You know, I saw the boss in the hallway.
Like, who better to lie about than the boss?
But then also, yes, you might say that, obviously, now that I got caught with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. Gosh. But Ryan, in that moment,
it's like you stole something and then you went right to the courthouse and said, I got to tell you, I just stole something. I just robbed that bank over there. Like, that's literally what you did.
Here's the money bag.
I know.
Yeah. But I walked in there with the gun. I was going to rob him. I decided not to, but I guess technically you should put me in jail.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you did.
I know it's kind of what, and that's what it sounds like. But also just if for Lou's sake, if I were to tell him like, oh, like it was CK, if I told him that, no offense, but if I told him that Toby would distract me, he'd be like, dude, like, come on, like you have a meeting to do. But if it's CK, what is he going to do? Like, dude, don't talk to CK.
No offense, CK's... Toby.
Yeah, no.
No if offense. It's some peon like Toby.
I can tell you one thing. I was never going to be on that meeting, so you could have used me as an excuse.
I could have, but it wouldn't have been a good enough excuse, in my opinion.
Would have been smarter.
It would have been smarter, I guess. I could have used Drab, but Drab wasn't there.
But so my final one, and I'm trying to get to this one point here. If you feel misled and a bit betrayed by Lou, you think that's going to help change your behavior at all? You didn't like that feeling, did you?
I did not like that. I think Lou should disclose that, like, because at first, again, the messaging was it was a one-on-one.
I got that. I heard that. But it didn't make you feel good. Right? You didn't like it. Do you think going forward, you could not make others feel that way?
You know, I probably could. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I probably could. Mm. There's some growth that I need to have.
There's some growth there.
Yep. And I think as a corporate employee now, I think I will get that because I am getting used to all these meetings. It's a lot of meetings.
It's a lot of meetings, buddy.
It's a lot of Zoom meetings. And you know what? Like, would I have done anything different? I try not to live with any regrets.
What I hope is somehow, and I know this would be all sorts of HR violation type stuff here, CK, but I would love to see this on a performance review. Like, I'd love to see this incident chronicled and documented when Lou has to file this.
Like a PIP? Yep. Maybe we do a PIP about thick lies.
Thick lies.
No more thick lies.
This one was more thin. The other one I stole was pretty thick. Ryan, CK, thank you both very much.
Of course.
Caleb Williams addressed what would you say that was from Seth Wickersham? A pretty damning,
bombshell,
jaw-dropping bombshell of a report. He took it head on and explained himself away. We got that audio for you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chance to win Post Malone tickets at 4 p.m. Got to be listening to win. Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I know you're a video game guy. You know what I immediately think of when I hear this song?
What?
NBA Street back in the day.
It was in NBA 3. Street?
I believe this song was.
How about that? I didn't know that, actually.
I loved that game.
Was that kind of the evolution of NBA Jam?
A little bit,
to
yeah.
To a degree?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was so much fun.
It was on the, that's going to kill me. I think it was on the Wii. There was a basketball game that was actually pretty fun. I think it was NBA Jam. It was actually pretty fun
NBA
to use
Jam
the Joy-Con
great, yes.
controller or whatever. Super fun. But it was good quality?
NBA Street. I used to play it back on the GameCube. That song was on. Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome. NFL Street was great, too. Bring back some of those games, please.
I love that. Yeah, the real ones that Darius plays and then gets mad at but still does. They're too good. They're too realistic. It's like too hard to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like it, I want a 3,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Or I want a receiver to go for 4,000 yards. I want to do that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I want Ricky Williams to have a game breaker, and he throws people to the sun when he trucks them.
Into the sun.
Right? Like, yeah. That's what I want. Just throwing dudes off 30 yards away.
So speaking of what people want, initially, according to a Seth Wickersham article, or actually an excerpt from his book that's coming up in September about quarterbacks, Caleb Williams did not want to go to the Bears. His dad didn't want him to go to the Bears. And this isn't just, hey, I'd prefer he goes somewhere else. This is, I don't want my son playing for the Bears, quote, Williams told several agents, talking about Carl, his dad, in 2024. The rookie cap is just unconstitutional, Williams told Wickersham, later adding that the CBA is the worst piece of bleep I've ever read. It's the worst in sports history. I need to go to the Vikings, he told his dad, talking about Caleb Williams. Let's do it, his father replied. This is all from this Seth Wickersham book, or the excerpt here. The quotes in here are staggering. The anecdotes are staggering. All the stuff that you heard about, you know, like they were trying to get a piece of ownership or all these other kind of weird reports that, you know, you couldn't really verify. Well, here you go. Here's your smoking gun. Point blank, he did not want to go to Chicago. They were trying to alter the draft process to engineer Caleb Williams being able to go to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams, correctly, by the way, said that's the place quarterbacks go to die. They've got a worse quarterback history than nearly any other franchise in the sport. They can't get it right there. Waldron shouldn't have been the OC, but was. And Williams had a quote as part of this. I don't think I can do this with Shane Waldron. So this is, if you're a Chicago fan, you're reading this going, oh my God, I thought we had something. Year one wasn't great, but it wasn't a disaster that everybody's making it out to be. But this
is
now,
a disaster.
This
yes.
feels like a disaster, etc. Well, Caleb Williams responded. This is a little bit longer, so we'll be able to pause and kind of jump in here, Tobes. But so this piece comes out, I think, May 15th, which is a couple weeks ago now, almost 2 weeks to the day. And Caleb Williams at the podium responds to some of the details in this Seth Wickersham, I don't know if it's the Wickersham article or the excerpt from the book, whatever you want to call it, but filed at ESPN. The details from Wickersham's book is what we'll call it. He responds to some of those. This is Caleb Williams.
This whole storm that happened, it wasn't something that, you know, we wanted to happen at this point. You know, we're focused on the present. We're focused on now. We're focused on, you know, trying to get this ship moving in the right direction. And I think so far that's what we've been doing. But for this to come out, it's been a distraction. So coming up here and talking about it and addressing it is important today. And so that's what we're here to do. Next is all that went down, all that was said. Yeah, I had a good visit at the other place, Minnesota, with Kevin O'Connell. Good staff and all of that, obviously. He just won Coach of the Year award and things like that. So obviously good staff and things like that. But something that keeps getting lost, something that keeps getting, I think, not being addressed the way it needs to be, is the fact that, you know, I went on that visit first, came here, and then after I came here, I went back home, talked to my dad, and, all of the things that were supposed to be these big things that everybody's been talking about recently, one never happened in the sense of they were all thoughts. They were all ideas. And I think if you're in the situation, I think if your son or daughter, anybody is in a situation to be in that position, I think you think about all of the options and, you know, and you look at it, the history and the facts and all these different things. And, you know, those are thoughts that go throughout your head in those situations. So
pause right there, Darius. All right. So, again, this is an excerpt from the story. That left only one option, to publicly attack the Bears in the city of Chicago, hoping that it would make the situation untenable, similar to what Jack and John Elway had done with the Baltimore Colts in 1983. He worried about me taking bullets, said Carl Williams to Wickersham of his son. I don't care. I just don't agree with this bleep. You know, I'm more interested in making sure that he can do what he wants to do. But Caleb was concerned that if they did try and the Bears refused to trade him, it would make a tough situation worse. In the end, Caleb Williams told Wickersham, I wasn't ready to nuke the city. End quote. So far, Williams trying to kind of walk both sides of the tightrope there. One, addressing it head on, Tobes, I would say. He's doing that. Saying, hey, I'm here to talk about this. Let's get this out in the open. But two, to go, these are just thoughts. These are thoughts. It got beyond thoughts, didn't it?
Yeah, it definitely got beyond thoughts. I mean, the idea that you were hiring lawyers to look at loopholes that you could get out of this thing and say, what if we played in the UFL for a year and then came back and were just a free agent and could sign anywhere else? Which, by the way, is a massive thing. Because if he could have done that, we could have been for a world of hurt. We could have been into a huge catastrophe for the National Football League. Because any quarterback ever coming out could have said, I'll go play in the UFL or quote-unquote not even play, right? Like, I'll go sign with some UFL team, maybe play a game, and then chill on the bench, and then I can go sign wherever I want. Great. So eventually he finally realizes that there is no way around it, ends up in Chicago. I think two things, right? I think it's very mature of him to come out and say the things that he did. Obviously, a PR person worked with him on what he was going to go through and what he was going to say and hit on the various things. And, you know, like you're taught as a kid, right? Honesty is the best policy. And I think him coming out and being honest about the fact that, yeah, this stuff wasn't a lie, because he could also done that, right? He also could have come out and say, I don't know what the heck Wickersham's saying. Like, we've seen that all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's got quotes from you, dude.
Yeah, so, like, he could have tried to do that, too, but instead he's honest and realizes, look, it's better if I face this head on. There's going to be problems. But I think, too, he's going to face some flack from people immediately. This is always going to be something that gets brought up anytime something bad happens. But by him doing this now, it puts it to bed a little bit more than if he would have just said, yeah, stuff happened in the offseason before I got drafted. There was a story that came out. I'm not going to address it. That this kind of quells it a little bit.
So let's pick it up from there, Darius. This is Caleb Williams responding to the excerpt from the Seth Wickersham story.
And then after I came on my visit here, it was a deliberate answer determined answer that I had. That I wanted to come here, and just like Ben spoke about, obviously, you know, the past years, as everybody knows, it's a fact that quarterback play, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer. There's, you know, these different things that come up. And so, you know, being able to have those thoughts is I think, fair to be able to have, you know, good and bad thoughts. But like I said, I came here on a visit, and like I said, just like Ben said, you know, it's a challenge. To be able to come in here and try and turn around, and that was the main goal of all of that, is to, you know, through all of, you know, what was, you know, going on, through all of what happened and you know, last year and previous years, you know, I think that was enticing. I think that was something that was glaring to me, that, you know, I wanted to come here and, you know, be the guy and be a part and be a reason on why you know, Chicago Bears turned this thing around. So that last thing that was said and all of that, I think, was the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here, that I love being here, I love my teammates.
And we can cut it off there. That's basically the where he turns it and says, and this is part of the story too, in fairness. So we laid out the more salacious parts, but at the end is, once Ryan Poles said, sorry, kid, we're drafting you no matter what. I told him and his agent, et cetera. The right thing to do, by the way, if that's your conviction. You don't let somebody dictate to you. That's not how the rules are set up. If they set up differently, you can behave accordingly. But once the meetings happened, Caleb Williams was then all in. And it chronicles also in this piece some of the nonsense that was going on. For example, he watched film by himself, according to the story. No coaches telling him what to look for. He just would turn it on and just sort of do it. Best of luck. Sort of left a twist in the wind. There's a reason quarterbacks go there to dive and to use the euphemism. But that's how it turns. And so a lot of folks in Chicago, and I think sports fans nationwide, are kind of reacting in two opposite camps on this. Camp number one is, what are you doing, dude? Mostly upset, I think, at the contents of the story. And then when he stands up there and addresses it, it's a, dude, all you got to say is, I got no comment on that. I'm here to win football games or something like that. And then eventually it dies down and goes away. The other side is, dude, good for you. Good for you for saying the true thing, which is they don't ever have good quarterbacks there. No one throws for 4,000 yards ever. Hasn't happened. And this situation I'm walking into sucks. And now you're saying, yeah, but I take it as a personal challenge and we're trying to win for you guys.
I think it's interesting because you might get a little insight into his mentality here. You can kind of take it for what it's worth, but I think it's 100% honest and true. And I'm sure any quarterback getting drafted to Chicago has these sorts of thoughts like, man, this place has never had a 4,000 yard passer in a league where everybody has had someone, it feels like, go for 4,000 yards and look really, really prolific. They haven't had one. They've got to Super Bowls. They've won Super Bowls, but it wasn't because of their quarterback play. So you have to think, you know, is there something going on? Is this franchise, for whatever reason, snake bitten a little bit with the quarterback? At the same point, you have heard athletes throughout time that say, never been done before, but I can do it. I can go over there and change things. And so does it give you a little insight into him? Maybe, you know, it might be a little unfair to say he doesn't have the killer instinct, but, you know, a guy like, think of Kobe or a Jordan or so many of these great athletes say, never been done before. Think of LeBron, right, in that 2016 finals, down 3-1, never been done before. We can do it. We can find a way. I know I can accomplish it. And so I think it's an interesting parallel there where it sounds like he was a little trepidatious because of the history. Sounds like once he was in the building and talked to some of the people that maybe that changed a little bit and he felt maybe I can be that guy. But it's just an interesting insight there that maybe he doesn't have that killer gene that we think, because I think some people would look at it as a challenge versus he was looking at it and say, can I go anywhere else, please?
What you just said reminds me of how my ADD brain works. Comedy buddy of mine named Bay Wesley used to have this great joke about the praying mantis. And the praying mantis, every time the male praying mantis mates with a female, the female bites its head off. It might make you think twice, most people, right? But the male praying mantis is like, dude, hey, every time someone, you know, with her, she bites the head off. Not the way I do it. I'll be fine. And then your head gets bitten off, right? Like you mentioned the athlete going, I'll be the one to fix it. That athletic arrogance. Williams had a full panoramic, had a 360-degree worldview going, I know I'm pretty good. I've got some confidence in myself, but my God, I bet you some other guys did too. It's never, ever worked there and expressed some trepidation. I just think it's a fascinating conversation. This is, I think, going to be more and more normal. Not somebody trying to torpedo the draft and, you know, do whatever, but we're going to see more openness among athletes who've been kind of raised in this, your age and younger, Tobes, coming up where used to be strong, silent type. Nobody says peep. You go do your job, and anything out of the ordinary is met with derision. You're going to see more sharing, you know, one way or the other. Whether it's good or bad, it just is. I think it's more commonplace. So, yeah, I mean, those comments don't look very good, and you got to hit it head on. I actually think he did a pretty darn good job.
You know the irony of all of this? You know the guy that brought this to our attention? Because he thought it was really honest? Ryan Clary? He thought him being forthright, coming out, being 100% honest with the situation was the way to go. And if you heard our last segment, that doesn't sound to fit with Ryan Clary's MO.
I was just looking up the definition of irony. Double play is up next. What's going on a lot?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to get you a chance to win Post Malone tickets in about 12 minutes. You got to stay tuned for that. But we do this every day at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. It's known throughout these parts as the Double Play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Toby, don't get thrown off. A big voice guy is going to come on and tell you when it's time to go. He's going to start talking now.
So yesterday we established that I'm a little bit dorky, yep, and I like some geography stuff. I also enjoy some history stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, there was always an interesting fun fact about a U.S. president who served long, long ago.
Okay.
And that president was the 10th president of the United States, John Tyler, a part of the great Whig Party. I know nothing about the Whig Party.
The Whig Party.
Yeah, but regardless, he served as the president of the United States from 1841 to 1845. His final grandson just passed away this week.
Okay, wait. 1841 to 1845 is when he was president. So his final...
he had a living grandson.
Whoa.
So his grandson...
Had to be about 100, right?
Mm-hmm. His grandson, Harrison Tyler, just passed away at the age of 96. And so it was always a long, great, fun fact to throw out there. So he passed away. He'd done some restoration of some properties in Virginia. I believe he'd gone to Virginia Tech. Go Hokies. And so the way that he described it is his grandfather was born in 1790, talking about the president of the United States,
that
John Tyler.
Crazy.
His father then, Tyler's son, was born in 1853, and this gentleman who just passed away was born in 1928 and just passed away this week. So up until a couple of days ago, there was a grandson of the 10th president of the United States still living.
Dude.
Isn't that crazy?
That blows my mind. So, like, in theory, you got someone like, you know, who's after that? Like Abe Lincoln or someone in the 1860s, 1870s, somewhere in there. Their grandson could still be kicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy was president in the 1840s, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he was born during 1790, which if the Washington Post has an article about it, I can send you. Here it is. He was born in 1790 during George Washington's first term. So he can legitimately say that his grandfather was alive when George Washington was in office.
You know how nubs things were in 1841? You know how nubby 1841 was?
So it's crazy because apparently his family struggled a little bit with finances.
And John Tyler's?
Or
the Tyler family.
Yes. Harrison Tyler is the one that just passed away. And his family was struggling with finances at times, and there was someone that was close to the family that, just to show you how old and this family is, they wrote a president to say, hey, could you help them with finances? Obviously, a grandson of a former president. That president was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Like,
I'm
FDR.
Not laughing at financial
no,
troubles.
But like, it's crazy to think that this guy was born in 1928. He just passed away, and the reason that they were in trouble was because of the Great Depression.
That blows my mind. You sleep on this. John Tyler did not have a vice president.
Did he not?
How weird is that? There was a time where they're like, we're just not going to do it. He was vacant throughout the presidency, and then Millard Fillmore, who you all sleep on. Everyone sleeps on Millard Fillmore.
Yes.
That's the last fact I had about Millard Fillmore. He didn't have a VP either.
Huh.
Anyway, that's the sidetrack.
That's funny.
Again, there's no other thing other that you would say other than, oh my God, that's crazy.
It's mind-blowing. So that fun fact is no longer valid, but a long life well-lived by Harrison Tyler. 96 years. So the last grandson of a president from the 1840s just passed away this week.
So, like, nobody from Franklin Pierce, who was president in the 1850s. No, James Buchanan's. It could be a great-great-grandson or something, but not, like, the grandson.
Just crazy.
That is beyond wild. Toby, good double play. Speaking of wild, it's time for my double play, Darius. So, Ryan brought the story to my attention. Some wolves were released into the wild in Colorado. And those wolves did what wolves do and went hunting for food and are now killing a bunch of calves and cows on people's ranches that live close to the wilderness. Some people were like, hey, the wolves need a place to go because they're endangered. Makes sense. And then the other people were like, hey, if you put them there, they're going to eat the cattle. And it's going to be hard because we can't kill them because they're wolves and they're protected. And the whole thing's a mess. So there's no good solution. That's not a great story. That just is. It's kind of a thing. And if you watch Yellowstone, you know how big a deal it can be if a wolf gets hurt. In fact, Rip had to do this whole thing where he took the collar on the wolf, put it on a tree branch, and sent it down the river. I mean, it's a whole thing to track the migration of the wolf that was accidentally killed because they were hurting the cattle because you can't afford to have the cattle hurt when you're a cattle rancher. It's part of it, okay? Anyway, point of the dude's story is this. Whenever I hear that word, what's that word? What animal is it, Toby?
Wolf.
What?
Wolf. Wolf.
What do you think of? I think of this.
Johnny, to make the understatement of the day, has had a very tough life. We can give you maybe one or two stories. We don't want to get into too much of the privacy area. Let's start when he was 12. He was doing work on his grandmother's house, and a hired hand showed up with a wolf on a leash. Here's the 2-0 pitch, 2-1. Anyway, Johnny loved dogs. He had never owned one, though he had no idea about how serious a wolf might be. So he walked up to the wolf, and the man hollered at him, "No, it's a real wolf. Don't pet it." The 2-1 pitch in, yeah, well, the man ties up the wolf, goes around the corner to mend the fence, and Johnny goes back to the wolf, saying something like, "Oh, I'll talk to him, it'll be great." And the wolf attacks him, has knocked him down on his chest, just about ready to devour him. 2-2 pitch, check swing, no swing, ball three. Johnny suddenly, totally and completely relaxed. He was done, he knew it. And whatever he did by relaxing, the wolf decided, I don't have a rival here.
Yeah.
And the wolf got off his chest. Johnny got up and walked away. Ground ball by the diving Turner. And the base hit by Johnny Gomes.
The at-bat that was happening live coincides with the story that Vin is telling about Johnny Gomes and the wolf.
So good.
It's the greatest thing ever, as far as I'm concerned.
So good.
It's my number one audio clip in the history of audio. The number of times I have harassed and bothered the various women in my life with saying, "Let's start when he was 12, or "a wolf." And I apologize to them in advance because it's coming back up again. Ryan brought me a story about wolves, and we're going to talk about Johnny Gomes has had a very rough life. We're doing it again. It's all coming back to me, Celine Dion style. Darius, thank you. And Ryan, thank you, buddy. Thank you.
By the way, this is part of why I think generally the pitch clock has gone over well with just about everybody. This is the one issue I have with the pitch clock.
Vin wouldn't be able to tell a story.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm still not the biggest fan of it, but it's grown on me. The pitch clock, though, takes away from the ability of people. I didn't get to listen to a lot of Vin Scully, but I was out in Milwaukee for some time. So listening to Bob Uecker tell stories on the radio, just listening to baseball broadcasters just weave in stories beautifully, and the 0-1, and then back to the story, and then, oh, the 1-1. So good. Scully was great at it. Uecker was great at it. It's awesome.
Now imagine that check swing. Imagine he went on 2-2. Now what do you do?
Yes.
You can't tell the story anymore. The story's over. Anyway, but it works out, and it was perfect. That's a nice little trip down memory lane. Time to win Post Malone tickets. We'll do that in 6 minutes when we do the Beltway Blitz. Come on back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.